This is the audacious smile of one of the most controversial and inspiring men in sporting history. An iconic grin that enraged those who oppressed, and a symbol of hope to those who were not truly free. Born a second-class citizen in his own country, to then one day become the most recognizable African-American on the planet, Rainy Day Boxing brings you Jack Johnson, a boxing legend.
I don't know what he had. Who talked to him?
I'm bold. He was crazy.
Jack Johnson was a big inspiration because what he did out of the ring, he was so bold. Jack Johnson was a black man back when white people lynched Negroes on weekends. They would send him letters saying, "You fighting a white man, a nigger, if you knock him out, we'll kill you." He said, "Just kill my black brothers, I'm gonna knock this white man cold." And he would knock the white man out.
You likened yourself to him in any way.
They say I'm controversial, they say that I'm bold, but I wasn't nothing like Jack Johnson.
Johnson's story begins in Galveston, Texas, 1878, the son of former slaves. His traumatic childhood took place at the beginning of segregation in America. As a young working boy, he labored in the many physically demanding and hazardous jobs of his time, all while working for the lowest wage. A period of his life that defined and shaped his muscular physique and mental courage. His fighting days began with his involvement in the Battle Royals, a cruel contest where a group of young African-American boys were blindfolded and forced to fight for the entertainment of the social elite. The majority of the time, Jack Johnson was the last man standing.
I'm sure he was scarred from his background, but he wasn't humbled by his background. I mean, he had this rebellious spirit.
He was a very aggressive type of individual. He had a rough life.
He started fighting at the age of 13. He had his first professional fight at the age of 16 years.
In those days, a black boxer didn't get the opportunities that a black boxer would get today. And Johnson, in fact, was pushed around, shoved around, as so many great black fighters were in those days.
Just to step inside of a boxing ring takes courage. And then to know that virtually every person there hates you, maybe hates you enough to kill you.
The sport of boxing, still in its early years of existence, was very much considered the white man's domain. Black boxers were heavily restricted and held back in the sport. Tough men and crude brawlers were held in the highest regard in those days. But when one crafty fighter with talent so undeniable began to climb the ranks, even white fight fans took notice. Johnson was one of the earliest men to master the sweet science. With the grace of a ballet dancer, he would demoralize and toy with his opponents. Jack traveled the country, establishing his fighting superiority, humiliating his white combatants as he battered them without mercy. With confidence that even Muhammad Ali could not rival, Jack Johnson knew he was destined to wear the crown.
At 6 feet one and 212 pounds, Johnson is lean, hard, a master craftsman who loves to set his own pace.
Some fight experts consider Jack Johnson the perfect fighter, an almost perfect defense, and he can hit like a ton of bricks.
Johnson is down. That was a terrific right to the jaw.
Jack Johnson was a half a century ahead of his time. He was the first fighter who thought about self-preservation when he got into the ring. Jack Johnson was absolutely unique.
For his time, he was a defensive genius.
We see Johnson demonstrate his Morse code prowess by landing a rat-a-tat-tat on Flynn's nose. Jack Johnson now simply holds him off with his left and belts him at will with his right. Fireman Jim seems so confused by what looks like an impenetrable defense.
At his best, he was a superb athlete and considered by many the best defensive fighter in the sport.
Jack Johnson knew when to punch and where to punch.
That he was not satisfied to merely beat his opponent. He had to taunt the man he was fighting.
Moran gets home with two good punches. The undaunted Johnson steps back and gives him a hearty round of applause.
Johnson stands off and flicks stinging left jabs.
Looks like the champ isn't ready to knock Ketchel out yet.
Why look at Johnson hold Ketchel up?
He's attacks ferociously.
The great Stanley Ketchel, the Michigan assassin, is out cold.
Johnson wipes two of Ketchel's teeth from his glove.
Jack Johnson learned his craft. He started to get the idea that, you know, maybe he'd like to be heavyweight champion of the world.
However, since the creation of the sport, black contenders were denied a chance at the championship. They were limited to the colored heavyweight title. But this was an unwritten rule that Johnson refused to accept. White America's hero, Jim Jeffries, was the undefeated heavyweight champion. And although having had his manhood questioned by Johnson many times, he refused to give Jack a shot. He thought the title was too prestigious for black fighters.
This fellow Johnson is a fair fighter, but he is a black. And for that reason, I will never fight him.
When there are no white men left to fight, Jeffries said, I will quit the business.
With Jeffries' early retirement, the vacant title was fought for by two white fighters, one by Marvin Hart and then shortly taken by Canadian Tommy Burns. Unfortunately for Jack, Burns also drew the color line. But Jack hungered for the title like no man ever had or possibly ever will. For 2 years, Johnson pursued Burns around the country, even following him around the world. When Tommy traveled to London or Paris, Jack would be there, pestering the champion for a chance at the title. Until finally, in Sydney, Australia, a wealthy promoter offered Burns $30,000 to fight Jack. A figure so large, if refused, his fear of Johnson would be exposed.
The fight was a sellout. A crowd of 20,000 people, the press and their cameras, gathered to watch the first ever championship fight between black and white.
Within a few seconds, Burns was on the floor. Burns got up and was knocked down again.
The challenger moves the champion around at will. Johnson is having the time of his life.
Jack would let him have free shots, even pointing to his ribs. Here, Tommy, now, here.
Johnson merely played with the heavyweight champion. He would laugh and actually talk to the crowd as Burns was hitting to the stomach, laughing all the time. It was Johnson's way of demonstrating he had absolutely nothing to fear from the little heavyweight champion.
As the bell rings, Jack gives a friendly little wave to Burns. See you later, Mr. Tommy.
Johnson was merely toying with the champion, goading him on until the tiring Burns could no longer compete.
So far as damage was concerned, Burns never landed a blow.
He advances on the smaller man, and then suddenly, tiger-like, he attacks.
The spectacle of a black man knocking out a white man and denied access to this historical moment.
The end of the white man's domination of the heavyweight championship.
After a decade and a half long career, Jack had fulfilled his dream. And so began the torment of all white supremacists. A Negro who had worldwide fame, wealth, tailored suits, automobiles, and now the most prized possession in all of sports. And what irked the moral purists more than anything was how he openly consorted with and married white women. But whatever whites thought of him meant nothing to Jack. In fact, Johnson seemed to ensure he was hated rather than loved. No one told Johnson what to do. He lived as a free man.
Jack Johnson had to be the bravest man in America. I'm amazed at what he did publicly that many would not dare to do privately.
With the victory, Johnson became bolder than ever, flaunting his title and his women.
The white man's burden had become the white man's master. He loved crossing the color line. He loved doing outrageous things. Jack Johnson loved to be Jack Johnson.
When Johnson was in London, he wore a golden hat and crocodile shoes. And his antics out of the ring made him increasingly unpopular. He spoke his mind and did what he wanted to do.
He was a very controversial man all through his career, Johnson. He was a bit like a sort of Muhammad Ali of his day, I suppose you could say.
Jack Johnson, he's bad. He had to be a bad, bad black man. He put on pretty white neckties and pretty white and had white women. You know that nigga was bold.
The public did not want a black man to be the heavyweight champion of the world.
A white man must be heavyweight champion. We can't stand the idea of a black being heavyweight champion.
Almost immediately, the call went out for a great white hope.
White society began to call out for Jim Jeffries to come back to the ring and return the belt to the rightful ethnic group. And so Jeffries became boxing's first great white hope. The fight sparked national interest. It was the original fight of the century. For years, many people longed for Johnson's downfall. Thousands traveled from all across the country desperate to see their premier white fighter silence Johnson. The honor of the white race depended on it.
Never before had a sporting event been such a focus of public interest. The championship battle polarized the nation.
Everybody who was anybody and some people who weren't was there.
Johnson received numerous death threats before the fight, but showed no signs of fear.
When Johnson entered, happy and smiling, cool as ice.
A clash between the two men who are ranked as the greatest heavyweight champions of all time.
The long-awaited fight is at last underway.
Jeffries bears the reputation of being the strongest man ever to enter the ring. Each time he launches an attack, Johnson quickly stifles it.
Jeffries is beginning to show frustration. It's compounded by Johnson's taunts.
Johnson lands a stinging overhand right, a smashing right hand by Johnson is followed by a jolting right uppercut. Johnson has slowly but methodically worn Jeffries down with hard right uppercuts and the clinches. Powerful left and right to the body.
By round 15, Jeffries was bleeding and swollen. Johnson had victory at hand.
A vicious uppercut and three stinging lefts. Jeffries goes down.
The former champion slumps like a tired old man, but gamely attempts to get up. Referee Tex Rickard holds Johnson away, but Jack smashes Jeffries through the ropes.
One of the most unusual incidents in heavyweight history, as the Jeffries corner and some of the media at ringside actually helped the former champion back on his feet.
And here we go right here, Johnson showing the mark of a great champion, finishing off his opponent.
The champion drives him across the ring, flattens him for the third time.
He who had never been knocked down was knocked down repeatedly.
After 15 bloody one-sided rounds, Jeffries' corner called it quits. Jack Johnson had won.
Nobody cheered. People filtered out of the stadium as if it was a wake, as if they were mourning the passing of something, which they were.
It was a triumphant moment for Johnson and all black America. But white society had lost, and they would take out their disappointment on the blacks. Race riots erupted across the country, unleashing a wave of animosity, racial hatred, and killings.
There were shootings, there were race riots, there were many deaths, there were many injuries.
This was a time of violently emotional reactions to racial relations.
This is open race warfare throughout every section of America.
Because they could not beat Johnson inside the ring, they found a way to beat him outside it. Johnson was put under federal indictment on the grounds that he transported white women across state lines for immoral purposes, a dubious charge.
The Attorney General of America, who was first approached to use this against Jack Johnson, he understood, we can't do this. This is a travesty. I think Jack Johnson's reaction initially was, the man's after me again. I can deal with it. If I put money in enough palms, this too will pass.
Taking only 2 hours to reach a verdict, Johnson was convicted by an all-white jury and sentenced to a year and a day in federal prison. Johnson was forced to flee the country to avoid prison time. Over the next 5 years, while exiled from his home, he would fight only 5 times, his bank account drying up and his fighting skills beginning to erode. White America, still searching high and low for a white hope, found and sent out the Potawatomi giant, Jess Willard, to conquer Johnson. They met in Havana, Cuba, 1915. Jack, who was now 37 years old and out of shape, had the many Americans who traveled to see the fight believed they would finally see Johnson's defeat.
He tries for a knockout in the first 8 rounds and throws everything he has at Willard. Willard is cut, Willard is red, Willard is beaten, and Willard doesn't move a step. He just takes everything. After the 8th round, Johnson's strength, stamina, which was always great, begins to seep out.
The spring in Johnson's legs is gone. It is brutally hot. The sun is insidious. Willard keeps his distance with his great reach advantage.
And towards the middle round, about the 15th, now becomes Willard, who's pushing forward.
Willard is watching closely, realizing that his chance to reverse the momentum of the fight may come shortly.
Suddenly, Jess lashes out with a ponderous right. Johnson goes down.
It's happened. The crowd roars his approval.
The impossible had come true. The search for the great white hope was over. Jack Johnson had been dethroned.
The partisan crowd goes wild.
After 7 years, the legendary champion's reign had ended. Upon his return to America, Johnson submitted to the law and did his time without complaints. He kept fighting for 16 years after his loss to Willard and competed in exhibitions until the time of his death. In his era, he was what haunted the nightmares of many, but today, his legacy is an endless source of inspiration to all those who need uplifting. Although experiencing a life filled with pain, adversity, and constant battles with prejudice, he never surrendered his pride. He was a man who lived without fear.
No question, the man had a stormy life and in many ways a tragic life.
Jack Johnson deserves his place among the boxing greats.
He beat everyone in his time. That's all a person can be called upon to do.
Jack Johnson, unquestionably, is one of the great heavyweight champions of all time.
That Jack Johnson came along much too soon and perhaps generations ahead of his time.
I should not be here, but I am here. I want to do something good. And out of doing that something good, something will come good to me.
If you enjoyed this video, don't forget to hit the like button, share it with your friends, and subscribe.